Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKee, for this episode number 271. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps me continue to highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically InTech, for bringing this episode to you for free. Only partner with companies that I believe in both the product and the people. And Jason and Tom and the gang at InTech do a great job, and they have a great product. So if you're in the market, please check them out. If you're not, please just let them know how much you appreciate them being part of the show. This week I'm joined by a friend of mine for many, many years. It's been a guy that I've looked up to for quite some time in the profession. Just has done it right everywhere he's ever been. Coach Alan Hendrick, he's the head strength coach at Colorado State Pebla. He used to be at the USOC, Air Force Academy is where I've really known him for most of his career, my career, and just a fantastic person, does it the right way. So thanks for coming on the show, Coach.
You know, I mean, this may sound like a cliche, but for you to ask me to do this is an honor to me, so I appreciate the invitation.
Coach, thanks so much. It means a lot to me. And I mentioned that, you've been Air Force, you've been at the USOC. You've been in this field for how many years now?
Well, I'm not that good at math, but it's closing. We're closing on 30 years.
Yeah, about 30 years, and that right there is so impressive to me with, this field being the way that it is and challenging. And like I said, I mean, you're one of the coaches that I remember going to conferences and listening to and just looking up to throughout my career, and I've been in it for 25 years, and so, I appreciate that. But the first question I want to kind of sit around is just, to be in this field for that long and have that kind of sustained success, I mean, what's the secret? What do you think? What advice would you have to that young Hendrick that is getting it into the profession, that's looking at hopefully staying in it for 30 years?
To me, the most important thing is selecting a profession that you enjoy. That's not a job. I mean, I haven't had a job for 30 years, right? So that's a pretty good deal. So other than that, I mean, you just have to, if you're passionate about it, if it's something that you really enjoy, then doing it for 30 years is not an issue. I'm fortunate enough to have been able to do it for as long as I've been able to do it. So yeah, to me, it's been a great way to make a living for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's always the key is finding things that you love to do, for sure. And it's not without its challenges, and it's not without its mistakes along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you ever made, and how you learned from it?
I know early on in my career, I would write a workout, and I would kind of force feed that down, regardless of the athlete's capability. So for example, using cleans as an example, I've taught thousands and thousands of people how to clean, but every once in a while you get an athlete that just can't do it, just can't pick it up. So for a long time, I just trying to force the issue. And finally I figured out, it's like, all right, I've given this my best shot. It's not going to work with this athlete. So let's go to plan B and find out another way to make that athlete better rather than being inflexible. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just learning to be more flexible with how you work with your athletes.
Yeah. I always equate it to like that, if you're that coach, that's a power lifter that all of a sudden the head coach comes downstairs and says, I don't want to deadlift anymore. You don't want to be that guy that has steam literally busted out of your ears because you're short circuiting, because you can't do a certain exercise. And like, you have to have lots of things in your toolbox and can adapt and be flexible, like you're saying, for sure.
Yeah, and it's more so not from, I've been in a fortunate situation where the vast majority of coaches that I've worked with not just in football, but with all the sports that we work with. Never really been in a situation where very frequently that a coach has dictated what exercise we can or can't do. But I'm speaking more in terms of what the athlete can do. So if you give it your best shot to teach an athlete how to perform an exercise correctly, yeah, and you coach it and you coach it and you coach it and the athlete just can't figure it out, rather than saying, you know what, this is what's written down, this is what we're going to do, you know, I finally figured out, it's like, okay, well, let's go to plan B and see what we can do to substitute for this to make you better effectively, rather than trying to do something that's just not working for you.
Yeah, it's a great point that you made. I mean, you know, about being yourself and not having coaches necessarily. I mean, you always want to be respectful and you obviously want to do right by the university and all those types of things. But at the end of the day, you got to be you and you got to find situations that allow you to be you. You've done that for pretty much your entire career. I mean, you've got a unique way of not I wouldn't say unique way of training, but I mean you train the way that you want to train and you identify places that are gonna adapt or buy into that. Talk about the importance of identifying who you are and then also turn around and finding the place that allows you to be you.
So first of all, I would say I don't know, it seems like there's kind of a trend now that strength coaches have to be these hyperactive guys that run around the weight room yelling and screaming and getting in people's faces and the super high energy type of person. And I approach my job more from a business point of view, you know, and you may initially think, well, that's not going to be successful. But if you think about a lot of businesses that are extremely successful, right? And their managers are working in a professional manner, you know, not yelling at his employees, not running around the office. So, you know, you have to find a method that fits your personality. It wouldn't be me to be that person where I'm running around and yelling and screaming and getting people's faces. I mean, obviously that happens at times, but sure, that's not my primary mode of operation. So, you know, and I think the kids would see through that. You have to be authentic and be the person that you are and find a way to make that work rather than trying to emulate someone else that doesn't fit your personality.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And again, I mean, I think, I think too many times as coaches, we're quick to jump on any job just because maybe it's a little bit more pay, a little bit more, you know, it's got the right logo on your chest or whatever it may be. But when you're going to interview and you're interviewing them as much as you're interviewing, you know, they're interviewing you, you know, and you got to make sure that it's the right situation for you. So I couldn't agree with you more on that.
You know, I've been in a good situation in that, for example, when I was working at the Olympic Training Center, which is in Colorado Springs, I got to know the person who was the assistant strength coach at the Air Force Academy. There was a sports science library at the training center, and both he and I do a lot of publishing. And so we ran into each other at that library at the training center. And when he decided to leave the academy and go on to another job, the academy actually called me up and asked me if I would be interested in taking the position. So I wasn't even aware that the job was there, but they reached out to me. So I ended up spending about 12 years at the academy. And then when my time was up there, so a new football coach came in and, you know, as often happens, he wanted to bring in his own guy. So I didn't lose my job at the academy. But I lost what was my primary responsibility working with football for the 11 or 12 years that I was there. And so the National Strength and Conditioning Association, which is also in Colorado Springs, became aware that I was looking around for a job. And again, they called me up and asked me to go to work there. And I spent about 3 years there. You know, and I enjoyed it. It was good financially, but wasn't really doing the type of coaching that I wanted to be able to do. So they brought back the football program at CSU Pueblo, and the first year they didn't have a strength coach position there, but that second year they got that position approved, and one of our former coaches from the Air Force Academy was working at CSU Pueblo, was aware that I was looking to get back into coaching. And again, they called me up and asked me if I was interested. So I've been in a unique situation, actually two ways. One, that people have reached out to me to fill a position, and two, to change jobs, but stay in the same state and basically in the same area. In our profession, doesn't happen very often.
That's so huge.
It's been a unique career that way for me.
No question. You mentioned publishing in there and how that's benefited you. I mean, at least in one job, you know, but probably many others as well. Talk about the importance of, publishing valuable information, putting it out there, putting yourself out there. And you've done that pretty much your whole career. So even, 25, 30 years ago, you were doing that. Why is that so important as a coach?
Well, first of all, let me be honest and say, originally I was a journalism major before I switched over to exercise science.
It's a little bit easier.
I enjoy writing. Like I said, don't ask me to do any math problems for you, but writing is something I enjoy doing. You know, and I found it advantageous professionally because oftentimes I would have a question about some aspect of training. And so I would do the research on that and simultaneously do the research, publish an article on that. So I utilized the research that I was doing to publish. So it was advantageous that way. You know, I feel like I've been very fortunate to be in this job for as long as I have. And so, you know, it's very rewarding for me to publish and then get feedback from people about how helpful whatever that information was. So it's rewarding that way as well. You know, but to be honest with you, some things have opened up for me, I think, because of publishing. One being voted the NSCA Collegiate Strength and Conditioning Coach of the Year in 2003. So you have to be honest about that. It's an honor, but you don't really have any way to evaluate how good a job a strength coach is doing. You know, it's not like we're in there observing the strength coach. And so I think in large part, I was selected because people were familiar with my name. They knew me, right? I might not have been a very good strength coach, but they knew I wrote a lot, you know? And so it's advantageous that way. I was at a conference once walking down the hallway and this individual came up and said to me, "Are you Alan Hedrick?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "How would you like to come to Australia and speak?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that." You know, and he only knew me because of my publishing.
Right.
Elected to the board of directors on the NSCA. Again, people were familiar with my name. They knew the work that I did that way. And so I think it, for in a large part, that happened because of my publishing. So it's been helpful to me throughout my career. And then, you know, giving back to the profession, I think it's important too. I'm fortunate to get to do what I love to do. So to be able to give back like that is something I feel responsible for.
I couldn't agree with that more. I think it's so important for us to help chronicle, these first 100 years of this profession and to do that in written word or in videos or whatever it may be. I think it's all stuff that, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, people are going to be going back looking at, that early material somehow, some way. And I think it's important to put yourself out there. And I think as a coach, I mean, it's, I can't remember how that quote goes, but basically it's, to learn something, you want to do it. You want to hear it, you want to teach it, and you want to do, or you want to hear it, you want to do it, and you want to teach it to be able to retain it. I think, when you're forced to kind of research and put yourself out there and present something in that as a resource, I think you're going to get better as a coach as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing I would say is that I'm always surprised when young strength coaches will reach out to me with a question or some advice, and I feel an obligation to respond to them as quickly as possible. I was in their shoes once, I'm trying to get into the profession. So I'm always surprised when I hear back from them that they have a hard time getting people to respond to them.
Right.
You got to treat people right. They're trying to break into the profession, and if they have enough respect for me to reach out to me, I certainly need to repay that respect with responding to them as quickly as I can. I feel, again, an obligation to do that.
I'm with you there. It's so hard, too, sometimes. I mean, I'm literally, just like you, I'm getting hundreds of emails a day with those types of questions, and I feel I have the same sense of obligation because of the mentors that poured into me. I feel obligated to pay that back, in some way, some shape, or form. And so there's oftentimes late at night typing emails back, but I think it is important for sure.
Yeah, I'll get kids at CSU Pueblo who did some practical hours or doing an internship, and they're always kind of hesitant to ask me if I'm willing to have them do that, have that experience in our strength and conditioning facility. And I was like, I always tell them, I was in your shoes once. I know the situation you're in. You need to get this done. And if I can help you out like that, then absolutely, I'll put you to work, whatever we can do, I was like you once, reached out to someone else and they helped me. So I got to repay the favor.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that, always stood out to me, when you presented and coming out there once and the whole deal was, just the emphasis that you placed on using single limb exercises with dumbbells, the emphasis you placed on non-traditional loading method, right, those types of things. Why is it so important to train with, independently or with non-traditional items?
So it's actually kind of a cool story in regards to our dumbbell training that we do. So I did my graduate work at Fresno State, and strength coach there at the time, Roberto Parker, mentioned to me that the New York Giants had trained at Fresno State for a week or so in preparation for a Super Bowl that they were playing in California. Strength coach for the Giants at the time was Johnny Parker. And Coach Parker had his athletes performing dumbbell cleans, which was a brand new idea to me. But as soon as I heard that, it made sense to me from a functional point of view. And so really started implementing a lot of dumbbell training into our workouts. And kind of expanding off of that original idea that I got from what Coach Parker was doing with the Giants. Mentioned previously that I've done a lot of publishing, so I happened to publish an article in the Strength and Conditioning Journal on the dumbbell exercises that we were doing with our athletes at the academy. And Coach Johnny Parker read the article, called me up, and asked if he could come out and watch our athletes training. So it was like kind of a full circle kind of thing where he sparked the idea and then just kind of expanded on that into doing a lot of different things with the dumbbells and specifically the Olympic lift with dumbbells. So it was an honor for me to have Coach Parker come out and see what we were doing. I another true story. So sports, football, it's not a weightlifting competition, it's an athletic competition. So I'm trying to find my ways to make my athletes as athletic as possible, not just as strong as possible. So, doing alternating arms, single arm movements, things that we can do with the dumbbells that you can't do with a barbell made sense to me. So I started implementing that into our workouts at the academy. I had a linebacker during spring practice. After he had gone through and had done quite a few of the dumbbell exercises that we introduced, and he said, "Coach, I can really tell that my motor skills have improved dramatically as a result of the training that we're doing with dumbbells." And as a strength coach, that's exactly what you want to hear. Right. If you hear back from your athlete that you're having a positive impact on their performance, putting up the records in the weight room is one thing, but actually having a positive influence on their performance is a whole nother level. So it was very rewarding to hear that. So we've been doing dumbbell training for a long time now. Kids will ask me, like, "Coach, where do you come up with these exercises?" Because we'll go like dumbbell alternating foot, alternating arm snatches, for example. They're like, "Where do you come up with this stuff?" So I was like, "All right, so I got this dartboard. And I throw the dart, it lands on snatch. So I know we're going to do snatches. And then next thing, it lands on alternating legs. So I know we're alternating the legs on a split position." It creates a lot of variation in the workout as well, because you can really mix things up with it. So it's been a positive part of my training for quite a while. You know, in terms of the other thing that we make a lot of use of is water-filled implements.
Yeah.
Both with kegs, and we have some logs built. You know, so to me, it's just, it's a way to help supplement their training. If you think about the type of resistance a football athlete, a wrestling athlete, a hockey athlete encounters during a competition, it's never a static resistance. It's always an active resistance, and the water provides that active resistance. And so the downside of training with water is that your intensity is lower. You can't bench as much with a water-filled keg as you can with a standard barbell.
Sure.
So the intensity is a little bit less. And so we use it as a supplementary tool during our dumbbell days. So, for example, on their workouts, it might say dumbbell / keg / log bench press, where at least one of those sets has to be done with that water-filled implement. So we're supplementing their traditional training with that active fluid resistance training to get the benefits of both.
Yeah, I remember both. I mean, both of those articles. And if you haven't read those, I would highly recommend you going back and reading those, or at least I think I know you presented on the water field as well, if not the dumbbells as well. But some awesome stuff. Well, Coach, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Best piece of a coach's advice that I've ever received. You know, I'm going to go back to one of the things that we originally started with, and that's just be yourself. You know, don't try to deceive the kids in being something that you're not. You have to be authentic with being the person that you are. So I think that's the most important thing. You know, one thing I really like about being a strength coach is it's different than being a head coach or a position coach, because I get to have a different relationship with the athletes than do those coaches, you know. And it shows up in a weight room, you know. The head football coach will come in, and or the position coaches come in and talk to the kids. And then, you know, I come in and talk with the athletes, and they want to start wrestling with me. And, you know, and so you don't see that them interacting with the other coaches that way.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fun to be able to have that type of relationship with the athletes. You know, to be honest with you, when I retire, that'll be the thing that I miss the most. It's just that interaction with the athletes.
Absolutely. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
All right. So first of all, with the book, I'm going to say this. I rely much more on professional journals than I do any books, for a couple of reasons. One, having published books myself, I can say this. So the journals are peer-reviewed, right? And typically a book is not reviewed. You know, the editors will look at it for grammatical errors, et cetera. But it's not really peer-reviewed like a scientific journal is. And
right.
So I feel more comfortable with the information presented in the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research than I do a textbook. And the other thing is, having gone through the process of publishing a book and realizing how long it takes from the start to where it actually gets on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the information presented in a journal gets published much more quickly.
Great.
So yeah, I really rely on the journals more than any specific textbook. You know, and in terms of a website, probably the on Facebook, the NSA College Coaches is probably the site that I get most of my information from off the internet in terms of the conversations and the questions and the interaction that goes on there.
Yeah. You got any apps that you use?
Yeah. You know, one of the benefits of being in a profession a long time is, at least for me. So I don't know if you're familiar with Spark Pro.
I am, yeah.
Capture. But when they first came out with the program, I reached out to them and told them I was interested in acquiring that. And they said, Coach, we'll just give that to you, no problem. You know, you've been doing this for such a long time. It was a way for them to help market, I think. So, I use that on a daily basis with coaching my athletes. So it's a kind of a simplified version of Dartfish, but it's for me, so many times you can coach an athlete, use words, describe, but when you can actually just bring over my iPad, show the athlete, look, here's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, right. You can write some diagrams on there if you need to, or put a grid on there, email it to the kids. That app has really been the one that's really been most helpful to me for quite a while now.
Yeah, it's a fantastic one for sure. Well, Coach, like I said at the very beginning, there's so much respect I have for you, not just as a person and getting to know you through the years, but also just as somebody that's benefited from the articles that you've written, the presentations that you've given, and all those things. And so I know everybody else will truly appreciate this episode, but getting the chance to interact with you through the years and like I said, watch you present and all that has been instrumental in my career. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
You know, again, like I said, you know, for you to tell me that you've shown up and listened to me present or actually read articles that I've written and then to ask me to be on the show is an honor for me, and I'm saying that sincerely. So I appreciate the invitation.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.